invite your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 is the one under consideration. I want to just mention verse 33 because it actually sets it in context. Well, the apostle said to the Corinthian Christians, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals or good manners. In verse 34, he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We must remember that the apostles and the other men of inspiration were inspired to write the words that they wrote. So when they wrote, and when their audience to whom they were writing read these words or heard these words, it was the same as reading or hearing the word of God. So when Paul says, I speak this to your shame, he's basically saying that God is saying to these Corinthians, shame on you. So my lesson tonight is, when God says shame on you, we're familiar with that term, I'm sure, because perhaps we've used it from time to time ourselves. Shame on you, and sometimes we say shame on me. When we use it toward someone, we're usually saying that whatever the action is that they have taken, or whatever the thing is that they have said, that perhaps it's an action that we don't necessarily agree with, and we wish that they wouldn't say it, and so we're trying to discourage them from saying it or from doing it. And so we would say to our child or to someone else, shame on you. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Shame on you. Well, the Bible uses the word shame in the same vernacular. One place it uses it is in this verse that we've just read, and we're going to talk about some other verses where the word shame is used. And the definition of the word shame simply means that it's a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. It's something that brings censure or reproach, and is something to be regretted. So what Paul was saying to these Christians at Corinth, that because of your actions demonstrate the fact that God is not pleased with what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're acting. And that's why, again, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications or associations corrupt good morals or good manners. This is something that God is not pleased with. And he tells them or exhorts them to awake to righteousness and sin not. And he, in essence, he's saying is the reason why people are sinning, many people are sinning, is because some do not have or do not have the knowledge of God. And because of this, he says, God is saying, shame on you. You should know better. You should act better. You should live better. This is bringing God's censure upon you. This is bringing reproach upon you, because it's not the behavior that God approves of. It's a shame for God to say, Shame on you. Without a change of our ways in matters that are not pleasing in God's sight, we will stand guilty before Him at the judgment. And certainly then it will be shame on us. So again, I'm talking tonight about when God says, shame on you. Number one we want to share with you tonight is that those not having the knowledge of God comes under the statement, shame on you. One should have the knowledge of God because the knowledge of God has been made available. Without the knowledge of God, then one would not know when he or she was sinning or doing wrong. But because the knowledge of God has been made available, then one can know. That's why, again, Paul said to these Corinthian Christians that you need to awake. You need to awake to righteousness and sin not. Don't be like those who do not have the knowledge of God. God's word reveals to us the righteousness of God. In other words, what God wants us to do to be right in His sight. How God wants us to live to be right in His sight. After saying that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, verse 17, he says, therein what? Therein the gospel, or therein the word of God. He said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So again, God's word reveals how you and I should live to be right with Him. And God wants us to know. Therefore, He gave us His word. And when we go through life and don't know the righteousness of God, or don't know the will of God, or don't have the knowledge of God, certainly God is saying, shame on you. Because I've made my will, I've made my word available. Unfortunately, though, even though His word is available, there are some who don't want to have the knowledge of God. It happened in the first century, and it still happens today. There are still people who don't want to know the word of God. In the first century, Paul said to the Roman church in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up, gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They had the knowledge of God. It was made available to them, but they didn't want to retain it. They didn't want it. They were without excuse, he had said earlier in the chapter. In Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he had said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The knowledge of God was available. The knowledge of God is still available. We tonight are without excuse. But again, there are some who don't want to have the knowledge of God. This was the case with God's people in the long ago, the Israelites. God's word through the prophets was available to them. But they didn't want to have it. They didn't want to hear it. You know what they said in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 10? He says, which say to the seals, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. He went on and said, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And he goes on and says, wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel. And we know who the Holy One of Israel is. It is God. He said, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, because you don't want my word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. He says, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Because you don't want my word, because you don't want the knowledge of me, because you don't want the prophets to prophesy right things to you, shame on you is what he's saying. You're going to have to pay for it dearly. This wall of iniquity is going to fall on you. And I would say to us this evening, let's not reject the knowledge of God. Because when one rejects the knowledge of God, when one does not want the knowledge of God or the word of God, then people will do, Brother James, what? Whatever they want to do. They will do, they will say, they will act, they will live any kind of way they want to live when they reject, when they don't want the knowledge of God. And when they live, or when we live like that, God is certainly saying through his word, shame on you for behaving like that. No wonder Hosea said, my people are destroyed, Hosea 4 and 6, for lack of knowledge. So God's word is available. We need to study it. We need to obey it. And there are great blessings waiting for us when we obey the word of God. John said in Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 3, he said, blessed or happy is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. I will say to us tonight, let's make sure that God doesn't say to us, because we reject his word or don't know his word, shame on you. So number one, those who do not have the knowledge of God or reject the knowledge of God, God is saying, shame on you. But in the second place, when a brother, and this is generic again, when a brother our sister in Christ takes another brother or sister to law, God is saying, shame on you. Listen to the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the first 8 verses. He says this, as Paul writes, there any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to what? Your shame. There again, God is saying, when you do that, shame on you. He says, further, is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be destroyed, or defrauded, I should say. Nay, you do what? defraud, and that's your brother. Look at this text just for a little bit and notice some things that he's saying in this text. And remember again, this is the inspired man of God. This is the same as God saying this to these Corinthian Christians. In verse number 1 as well as in verse number 6, he is saying that when one does that, that this would be a bad influence before the world. Remember again, we as Christians are to portray to the world a positive, a good influence. So again, he says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? The world fits the category of the unjust. And you are going to law, he says, before the world. That's going to put a bad taste in the world's mouth. In verse number 6, he would say, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the who? Unbelievers. He is saying that's a bad influence. Rather than doing that, he says, this is a matter that should be settled by the saints. Verse number 2 through verse number 4. But then verse number 7 is where it's really, I guess, is where the hard part is. Again, it's not really hard, but it's hard to us because many times man don't want to do that. Verse number 7, he says, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? And again, that's the part that we got to work at. We don't want to take wrong. We always want to come out on the quote winning end. As a Christian, we're not going to always quote win. We're going to have to suffer in this life. And so he is saying now, rather than doing this before the unbelievers, settle it among yourselves. And if you can't settle it among yourselves, then just take the wrong. And if you're not willing to take the wrong, he says, you are doing wrong. And doing wrong, brothers and sisters, is sinning. God doesn't want us to sin. That's why, again, Paul says, I speak this to your shame. So what God is saying is that when we resort to that and don't want to take the wrong, if we can't get the matter settled, God is saying, shame on you. Didn't Christ suffer wrong? He suffered reproach, and that's wrong for our sake. So then, don't have God to say, shame on you, Christians. Number 3, when one is too lazy to work, God is saying, shame on you. Listen to what the scripture says again. In Proverbs chapter 10, in verse number 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Wise son, he says, gathers in the summer. But the one who refuses to gather in the harvest, but rather just sleep, he says it causes shame. It causes shame even to the father, for the family. The family will have to beg because he refused to gather in the harvest. Society will look upon him with disdain because he refuses to harvest or gather in the harvest. And the Lord says that he's worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So when one is too lazy to work or refuses to work, God is saying, shame on you. Why? Because God has admonished us to
to work.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 11 and 12, the Bible says this, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that we may walk honestly, or that ye rather may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You notice that word, or that phrase, them that are without. You know who that's referring to? The world. Again, remember, we're to be a positive influence for the world. And if the world knows that one ought to work, shouldn't we know that? That one ought to work? So Paul says, I want you to walk honestly toward them that are without. In other words, don't give the world an excuse to look down upon you, an excuse to even not become a child of God. And he says, I want you to walk honestly toward them that are without. Paul would say basically some of the same things to the Ephesians Christians. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 28, he would say, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him work the things that are good with his own hands, that he may have to give to them that have need. God commands us to work. When one is too lazy to work, when one refuses to work, the proverb writer says, it causes shame. God is saying, shame on you. And then lastly, this evening, when a child is left to himself, God is saying, shame on you. Proverbs 29 in verse number 15, the Bible says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Sadly to say, this is the lot of many young people today. And it may not be totally their fault. I'm not trying to give them license, but I'm trying to say it like this, that they may have been encouraged to be like that. Why am I saying that? It's because many times a lack of proper discipline have driven them in that direction. What do you mean by a proper discipline? Lack of proper discipline have driven them in that direction. Y'all remember Eli, the priest in the Old Testament? He had some sons that were called the sons of Belial, or the sons of the devil. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse down about verse number 22 that these sons went to the temple and they laid or committed fornication, or adultery, whatever you want to call it, with the women at the temple. They were vile men. And the Bible says Eli did not restrain them. All word came to him about that, and he talked to him about that, but evidently it was that he could have done that he did not do. And so the Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile. And he did what? Restrained them. His two sons died on the same day. You keep on reading in the book of 1 Samuel. And the Bible says that none of his lineage, if you will, would live a long time. All because he didn't properly discipline his son. What did that bring to that household? It brought shame. It brought shame to that household. And so again, I'm saying that many young people are left to grow up as they please with no restraints. Young parents out there, make sure that you put some restraints on your children. Don't let them do whatever they want to do. Don't let them run the house. If you're a mother, be mother. If you're a dad, be dad. This happens so often with young people, and especially with so many. I wrote this down here, and I hope you don't take it offensively. With so many, quote, babies having babies, they don't really know how to run themselves, and so they let their children do whatever they want to do. Eventually, it's going to bring shame. God is saying, when a child is left to himself, when the proper discipline is not exerted, then he's going to cause shame. This possibly can be the root cause of many young people that are incarcerated, because they came through life with no restraint. God is saying, shame on your parent, and he's also saying, shame on your children. When God says shame on you. As I close tonight, I want to encourage us to so live our lives that God will never say shame on you in this life. And certainly, we don't want him to say shame on you at the judgment. But if we don't have the knowledge of God, receive the knowledge of God, he's going to say, shame on you. If we don't work as we're supposed to work, he's going to say, shame on you. If we take one another to law rather than suffering wrong, he's going to say, shame on you. If children don't have the proper discipline, he's going to say, shame on you. I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I know you want the same thing. Let's strive to live our lives.